Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is a guy I love to talk to, Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate. Don't be telling me we don't interview the Green Party here. Running for governor of New York, Howie Hawkins has been an organizer in the movement for peace, justice, labor, and the environment since 1967. This is his third run for governor. He hasn't made it yet. The first in 2010. Welcome back, Green Party candidate Howie Hawkins.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Hey, Howie, for years you were unloading the trucks. What were you doing there?
Well, that was at UPS. I'm a Teamster, and I retired effective March 1st, so I got more time to campaign this year.
Hey, Howie, the Teamsters haven't always enjoyed the best of reputations. You know, organized crime, Jimmy Hoffa, federal oversight. Was there ever a moment that you suspected that the union, which I know you respect, was not helping things?
Well, I have criticisms of the leadership, and the Teamsters definitely had a problem. We were under federal supervision. But I'll tell you, it's much better to have a union contract than try to negotiate one-on-one with a giant company like UPS.
So do the ends justify the means? I'm sorry to bother you about this, but it occurred to me to ask you. I always wanted to ask you about this. Look, you're quite right. The Teamsters Union has done extremely well wage-wise for its people. On the other hand, we hear all these tales of corruption and all the rest. Do you have to have one in order to get the other?
No. In fact, the labor movement in the United States is the only one in the world where organized crime got their claws into it. I mean, even unions in Sicily were able to avoid that. So that's a problem we've had to deal with, and we had a strong movement in the Teamsters going back to the 1970s, it still exists, called Teamsters for a Democratic Union.
I know that.
Which has fought the corruption and won changes. Like, we get to elect our president now. Before that change, it was done just by the delegates at the International Convention. So, we've made progress. There's more progress to be made.
And now that you're doing retirement, does it make your politics easier to do?
Yeah, I mean, I actually get a full night's sleep instead of, working overnight and then sleeping, 5 or 6 hours and then getting out on the campaign trail. So I think I can get a lot more done in the campaign this year.
Well, now, look, your way of doing politics is very impressive in terms of what you're for: guaranteed health care, clean energy, quality education for all, poverty, raise wages, progressive taxation, affordable housing, transportation, justice, a Green New Deal, end public corruption, legalized cannabis, public campaign finance, fair elections, civil rights and racial justice, gun rights and public safety. Hey, I'm for all of that. How come you can't get elected governor?
Well, how the system's rigged. I mean, Cuomo's got over $30 million from
31.
Very powerful interests, real estate, banking and so forth. And people traditionally think that only the two major parties can win. But we got 5% of the vote in 2018 in the general election, 2014. And that was about 200,000 votes, a little short, about the same number of votes that Zephyr Teachout got in the primary against Cuomo. And I think Andrew Cuomo looked at that and said, how do I get some of those votes back? And that's why we got the ban on fracking, which we'd been demanding since before I ran in 2010.
Wait. On that one, let's talk about that for a second. He gets great credit for that ban on fracking, and yet, as I remembered, he had to be pushed-pulled on that. Why do we think he's a great leader for that?
Well, he's got a good media machine, and he takes credit for things, even though we have to push and pull him to get to those positions. So, my point is, we don't have to win the office to make a difference. If we run an independent progressive candidacy and raise our demands, we can't be taken for granted. If we just fold into the Democratic Party like a lot of the fusion parties do, we get taken for granted in the general election, because no matter what the Democrats do, they're going to get their vote, get the progressive vote. So that's the leverage we have in the political system.
Well, that, of course, raises a very interesting question, doesn't it, Howie? Which is, suppose you get a Republican to the right of Cuomo, who does have a list of fairly liberal achievements, elected because you insist on staying in with your 5%.
Well, if we don't stay in, we'll be taken for granted, and there won't be so many progressive achievements. Our political system is a problem that can be fixed with ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting, where you get to rank your choices in order of preference. So somebody who's worried about the Republican can rank the Green first because they like them the best, rank the Democrats second, and if nobody gets a majority in the first count, the last place candidate is eliminated and their votes transfer to their second choices.
Right. But that's not going to happen in New York State, your idea about transference of votes. You can't even get term limits. You can't get any of the other stuff done. You can't get plebiscites in New York. Well, they have in New York City, you know. So it's a bit of a cop-out, right? Somebody's sitting there saying, if Andrew Cuomo loses this election to the Republican, it will be Howie Hawkins' fault.
Yeah, and that's a dilemma we face with this election system. But if we're not in the race and raising the demand for instant runoff voting, we won't even discuss what the remedy is.
Right.
So, you know, our option is we either, you know, fold up our tents and go be quiet, or we put our positions into the elections and get those issues raised.
Howie Hawkins, you say we. Is there others besides, I mean, are you the whole game, or are there others who really do play a role?
Yeah, we have local elected officials around the state. We have candidates for the other statewide offices. My running mate is Gia Lee, a school teacher from New York who was the candidate of the Movement and Rank and File Educators for the presidency of the United Federation of Teachers in New York last year. And I could start naming off a whole lot of folks. We just elected a village board member in South Glens Falls in a special election a few weeks ago.
So were your parents lefties?
No, they were Midwest Republicans.
Wow. Were you in a state of rebellion against your parents?
In 1964, I'm 12 years old, and you know, the Republican tradition I was taught was for civil rights, for being prudent with money and staying out of stupid foreign wars. And in 64, Ronald Reagan was running around California, where I was growing up, to get a fair housing law that had just passed repealed. So I said, well, the Republicans don't really stand for civil rights. And then the Democrats didn't seat the Freedom Democrats from Mississippi. They sat the Dixiecrats, the segregationists, at the 64 convention. So I asked myself, where's my party? And then Johnson ran as a peace candidate and escalated in Vietnam. So, you know, the things that I was raised up to believe in wasn't being fulfilled by either of the major parties. So I just sort of on my own, you know, I said, where's my party? I later learned that John Lewis asked the same question when he spoke for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee at the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom.
Okay, so then Cynthia Nixon, Sex and the City, comes in. I had a nice conversation with her the other day, a very good, bright person, and runs in a primary against Andrew Cuomo. Two-part question. A, in your political opinion, you've been around for a while, can she beat him? And B, if she doesn't beat him, should she get off, because the working families people seem to think she should she get off the ballot so that not to endanger the Democrats' chances? And that, of course, would be part C or three, which is, should Howie Hawkins do the same thing?
Okay, I don't know if I can keep A, B, and C straight, but look, you know, the Working Families Party endorsed Cynthia Nixon on a Saturday, and by Tuesday, they seemed to say, well, we really didn't mean it, because if she doesn't win, we'll get her off the ballot. And the thing about the Green Party is we'll be on the ballot in November raising our issues. And, if you know, in terms of her chances of winning the primary, I think she's the underdog, but I wouldn't rule it out, because I think Andrew Cuomo has got a lot of problems. His links to the public corruption cases and, you know, his style of governing, which is kind of a bullying style that is, you know, it's sort of outworn its welcome in Albany. And so I think he's vulnerable, but she's got a tough hill to climb.
So let's assume that she does beat him, and she's the progressive between the two of them. You're a progressive. Now you got a problem, right?
Yeah, there are differences. One of the most important issues in the state is going to clean energy to deal with the climate crisis. And she supports a bill that would get us there by 2050. I support the bill that gets us there by 2030, which the science says industrial states like New York have to do if we're going to avert runaway global warming and a real climate catastrophe. So there's still differences there. And for us, we need an independent progressive ballot line so our local candidates can be on the ballot for the next 4 years. So that's one of our goals in this election, and we're not going to abandon that for the general election.
So you should explain that to everybody about how one gets ballot position and how what happens in the governorship means something for somebody who's running for city council in Rochester.
Okay, well, what it takes to get a ballot line in New York for the four-year election cycle between gubernatorial races is 50,000 votes on that ballot line. Now, we have eight parties that have ballot status currently, but only three of them were created by running their own candidate, the Democrats, Republicans, and the Greens. The other five parties got that line by cross-endorsing a major party candidate. So that's how you get on the ballot. And what it means for Green Party members that want to run for office, take Congress, for example. If you want to run for a congressional seat, it's 5% of the Green enrollment in a district. So if it's 1,000 Green enrollees in that congressional district, it's a petition of 50 signatures of Greens. If you're trying to get on the ballot to run for Congress as an independent without a party line, it takes 3,500 signatures. And you really need 7,000 to be safe to get your 3,500. So it's an enormous difference. So when we have the ballot line, our local candidates can do the petition relatively easy and get on with campaigning and raising the issues they want to, instead of spending the summer scrambling for signatures.
So Howie Hawkins of the Green Party, let me ask you this then. Do you run people in virtually every race, or do you have to pick your spots?
Well, the big problem is recruiting candidates. We would like to run candidates in every race, but it takes a lot for people to step up and organize a campaign and raise the money. So we run where we can. And, you know, over time, we have more and more people stepping up. But we're like a small business startup, and we're trying to get into a market where you have a duopoly of two giant companies. So, you know, that's the process that we're going through.
Let me get this straight. This is a public radio program you're on. We love having you on because, you know, people deserve to know what some of the other options are in an election. And so my question to you is, this program is also on just about every public radio station and a few others in New York State. So if somebody decided that, you know, you're having trouble getting enough people to step up, that your values are their values, how would they get in touch? How would they find you to say, hey, I'd run for Congress in whatever, Rochester, wherever it is?
Well, they can Google the Green Party of New York website and make contact with the party that way. They could go to my website, howiehawkins.org, and communicate with our campaign, and we'll put that person in touch with the right people in their district so they can get going.
By the way, Howie Hawkins, workers' rights, of course, is in your platform, the one that I read some of. It's May Day today as we speak. Won't be when people hear this in some cases, but it's May Day, and it's always sort of been a leftist celebration and a workers' celebration. So how are workers doing in New York State?
Well, we've had stagnation in wages for decades, and to make up for that, people have had more people in their households go out and work, and that's still been short, and then they borrowed money. So we have most people don't have any savings, or they're just a paycheck away from not being able to pay the rent or the property taxes and other important bills. So that's the situation of working people. And there are a lot of ways we can improve that, from, you know, moving the floor of wages up by raising the minimum wage, to strengthening the position of workers in bargaining and organizing unions. And we also need the public sector to step up and provide public programs that lower the cost of living and also doing business in New York, like a single public payer system for health care, called the New York Health Act, which would lower the cost of health care for 98% of us. We would pay progressive payroll taxes as workers, instead of now paying taxes for Medicare and other taxes that go into Medicaid and other public programs, and then our private insurance premiums, the copays, the deductibles, the out-of-pocket expenses for things that aren't covered. So those are some of the things we can do to raise the standards of working people.
When I taught at Rutgers many, many years ago, I had a colleague named Sebastian DiGrazia, who wrote a book called Of Time, Work, and Leisure, in which he predicted basically robots doing everybody's work. So my question to you is, clearly it's on the way, right? Driverless cars and factories which run without any human beings. How do you want to address that?
Well, the problem we've had over these last four decades, which really started with that recession in 1973, is that from World War II until that recession, as productivity increases, which means mechanization and more output per hour that we work, our wages increased in line with productivity. Since then, our wages have been stagnant and productivity's almost doubled. So what we need to do is get those gains distributed to the working people, which can come in two forms. One is higher incomes from higher wages and benefits, and the other is reduced working hours and putting some of that money that's or that value that's created by our labor into public programs like a single public payer health care system.
So are we in real trouble? I mean, you know, as it gets worse, there's got to be a way of picking it up. What about people who just don't want to work? You know, they just want to sit on their behinds and not work. And the Republicans often talk about this. And a lot of Americans don't have any sympathy for that. And yet, if there are no jobs eventually, what happens?
Well, I find that there are very few people that actually, you know, want to sit on their bottoms and get, you know, public assistance. And there are, you know, limits on how much you can do that. So I don't think that's really the problem. The bigger problem is, you know, people want to work and they want to get a decent income for the work that they do. So I don't see that as a problem.
Where's Howie Hawkins on marijuana?
It should be legal. It should be taxed and regulated like, you know, tobacco and alcohol. We put tens of thousands of people in prison for simple possession, even though there was a law passed in 77 that decriminalized simple possession. The way the law is enforced is, you know, they'll stop and frisk people and they'll have them empty their pockets. And if somebody has a joint, it's in public and then they can be arrested. And that still goes on too much. And it ruins a lot of lives. So, you know, we believe legalize marijuana, set up an industry, and don't let big tobacco or liquor or agribusiness or pharma come in and run it. Let's set it up so the little people can participate in it. And then we need to expunge the records of people who have been charged for nonviolent offenses related to marijuana.
Sure.
Let them go on with their lives.
Let me go to elections. Can we have fair elections because we have these terrible gerrymanders in both houses of the state legislature? How do we get rid of the gerrymander?
Well, the district should be set by an independent commission of civil service people. They do that in Iowa, and they have fair districts. But more fundamentally, we'd like to see multi-member districts to create proportional representation in legislative bodies. And then it doesn't make so much difference where the district lines are drawn. It's really hard to gerrymander in a proportional system, which simply means if the Green Party is getting, well, 5% statewide like we did in 2014, we would get 5% of the seats in the state legislature.
Yeah, but that ain't going to happen, right, Howie? I mean, you know, PR has been around for a long time as a concept. There used to be a man named George Hallett. He was the head of one of the what we call Google groups in the state, and everybody said, hey, they were all for it, but it never happened. What in the world would make you think that these characters in both houses of the legislature would risk their seats by going to something like that?
Well, we're getting a form of proportional representation similar to that, and that's instant runoff voting in a lot of cities and now the state of Maine. So we can make electoral reforms. We did have proportional representation in Yonkers, New York City, and Long Beach in the from the mid-30s to the late 40s. So it has been done here. It's still done in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There was a lot of cities had it, it was one of the reforms of the progressive era. So between the teens and the late 40s, a lot of cities had it. Cincinnati, for example.
Yeah, but when Vito Marcantonio, a communist, got elected in New York City, goodbye, proportional representation.
Yeah, and then they put in the Wilson-Pakula law.
Yeah.
Well, that was part of it. Part of it was, you know, racism because, like Cincinnati, they elected a black to the city council. And so the white power structure said, okay, we got to change proportional representation.
Sure.
So yeah, there are always obstacles to reforms, but you don't just say, throw up your hands and say, we can't do it. You raise the issue and organize around it, and, you know, we get to them eventually.
We got about 3 minutes. I want to talk about guns a little bit. We have too many guns, don't we?
Yeah, we have a lot of guns in this country. I believe, you know, law-abiding citizens should have the right to their rifles and pistols and shotguns. But we should also have reasonable gun control. So, you know, for example, assault weapons are not out there in the population. And we should have background checks. And, you know, operating or owning a gun should be like operating a vehicle. It should be regulated. People should be, you know, we should know that they know how to handle it and keep it safely and use it safely. So, you know, I'm for gun rights and gun safety.
Well, ever since Donald Trump has become the president, we notice a huge amount of money coming into public radio. It's interesting. So while I hesitate to say Trump has been good for us, because I don't really believe that, is it true that you think that the Green Party will do better because Donald Trump is the president?
No, actually, we do better when Democrats are in office because, you know, Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan or the Republican that's in there, the progressives say, oh, we got to get the Democrats back in there. And then they do. And then they're disappointed. And so then they look to the Greens. So we tend to do better when the Democrats are in office.
I got 2 minutes. But I want to ask you about the environment. Howie Hawkins of the Green Party. I know that you've talked a lot about the environment. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Well, the most important thing we need to do is get the state to commit to going to 100% clean energy and zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. As I mentioned, the science says that's what industrial states like New York have to do if the globe is going to avoid runaway global warming and the dire consequences of that. So that is the top priority. And we also need to address the problem of plastics. There's a bill to eliminate the use of single-use plastic bags. I believe we got to go farther and get rid of single-use plastics altogether because they are creating havoc, particularly in our ocean ecosystems, besides animals that get caught up in plastic bags and suffocate or, you know, can't function as they normally do. The plastics degrade into microplastics, which are toxic and pollute and destroy the whole ocean ecosystem. So that's a real crisis. And that's another environmental measure that we need to move on as soon as possible.
We're just about out of time, and I hate that because Howie Hawkins is such an interesting man. Our guest has been Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate running for governor of New York. Howie, as always, thanks so much for joining us. It's always fun when you do.
It was a pleasure being on. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.